Amen. Please be seated. And if you have your Bible or a Bible app with you, I invite you to join me in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We're looking once again at verses 1 to 13 in our ongoing series, Teach Us to Pray. Last week, we were invited to pray to God, who is our Father, and to approach Him with confidence every time we turn to Him in prayer. This week, through the prayer's first petition, we're reminded that our Heavenly Father is a holy God. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And I want to remind you why we're reading the same passage over and over each week. It's not because we've run out of passages. It's not because the messages each week aren't going to bring other scripture into play. But it's because Jesus taught this prayer to his disciples in a certain context, in a certain moment. And just because the prayer ends after four verses doesn't mean that the verses to follow don't also inform what he teaches us in the prayer. And so we'll get to those verses eventually. But each week, I'd like us to look at the whole text so we can sense the context within which Jesus taught this prayer to begin with. I'll begin reading now in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to gather together in worship. We acknowledge your presence here, and it's our desire that the worship that we are offering you today rightfully glorifies your name. We're so thankful for your presence in our life day to day, the invitation you've given to us to commune with you in prayer, and we are thankful as well for the gift of Scripture. All that it teaches us of ourselves, and all that it teaches us of you. In these next few minutes, as we look again at these verses, give us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we serve you every day. I pray all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallowed be your name. Let's take this phrase and break it into its parts this morning. We'll start by considering what is meant by name. We'll move into the concept of hallowing, and we'll finish with the significance of praying all of this as a prayer petition. So to begin with, what's in a name? This is more than God's official name that's referenced here. This isn't about what we choose to call God when we reach out to him. Some of us have been taught that this petition simply refers to the third command, don't take God's name in vain. And yet it means so much more than that. Name, as it's used here, refers to someone's whole character, to the entirety of their attributes. In this case, all of the attributes of our Heavenly Father. This refers to the true magnitude of God. Think of name as it's used here as reputation, as in making a name for yourself, or in this case, making a name for someone else. We have been called as representatives of God in this world, and according to Jesus, part of our job is to hallow God's name. But what does it mean to hallow God? Let's start with the word hallow. In Greek, it is hagiazo. Hagiazo means to make holy, to set apart as holy, to treat as holy. And it can be used as a noun. Hagiazo means holy. And yet here it is used as a verb, as something that we are called to do. Hallowed be your name is not a declaration. It's a statement of what is to be. And this isn't just intro material to fly past on our way to the real prayer. This is the prayer. And this hallowing involves us. So how do we as Christians go about hallowing God? Well, let me offer four examples of ways that we in our day-to-day life can choose to hallow God. Number one, we can trust God. We can trust God in the way we live. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12 gives an interesting example there. In the context here, it's Moses and the Israelites. They're wandering in the wilderness, and they've come to a place where they have no water left. The people are crying out to Moses, complaining that they've left everything they needed in Egypt and now out in the wilderness have nothing to drink. And Moses, in turn, cries out to God and says, "What am I supposed to do? Why have you led us here?" God says to Moses, "Speak to this rock, and water will pour forth from the rock." But Moses, in his frustration, doesn't simply speak to the rock. He also strikes the rock with his rod. Water does, in fact, pour out. But in the aftermath of the miracle, God says to Moses, "You did not trust enough to honor me as holy." Moses did not hallow God's name because he chose not to trust in the word that God had given to him. When we read in the scriptures the words that God has given to us and choose to trust God's word, even when it makes no sense, we, by doing that, hallow God's name in this world. Secondly, when we fear God, we hallow God's name in this world. Isaiah 8, verses 12 and 13 says this, "Don't fear what these people fear." It was an encouragement from God to the people of God living in the world where there was much to be afraid of. We, as those who follow after God, are called to fear God, not the people and the circumstances that surround us. This fear is a fear of reverence, of believing enough in the glory of God that we will trust once again in what he says. But if we're going to fear anything in this world, we're not to fear the circumstances or the lesser people around us, but fear first and only our God, the one who has saved us, the one who has called us, the one we've chosen to follow after. When we choose to fear God above all others, we hallow God's name. Thirdly, obey God. Leviticus 22, verses 31 and 32 reminds us to keep God's commands. It states, "Don't profane my holy name by disobedience." Because we're God's representatives in this world, when we choose to disobey, when we choose to go our own way while identifying ourselves as believers, we're told here in this passage that we actually profane the name of God, the opposite of what we're called to here, to hallow God's name. Our example of obedience, however, hallows God's name at every turn. It shows the world the beauty of the God who's called us and the beauty of the commands he's given us. When we obey God, we hallow God's name in this world. Finally, glorify God. Leviticus 10:3 reminds us that through our obedience, we glorify God. That passage talks about the high priest Aaron and his sons Nadab and Abihu. They were given regulations for leading worship for the people of God, and they chose to do whatever they wanted rather than following after regulations that made no sense to them. Their disobedience did the opposite of glorifying God. But when we are given these commands of God and we choose to follow after them, we bring glory to his name and bringing glory to his name is hallowing the name of our God. When we trust God, when we fear God, when we obey God, when we glorify God, we hallow God's name. However, if we were to stop right here, this would just be a moralistic teaching. It would just be something for us to leave and attempt to do. And it's so much more than that because we have been called to pray this. This is a petition we are called to pray. After addressing God as Father, but before we bring our personal needs to him, and that is to come, we're going to get to that place. We are to stop and offer this petition. This means that this petition is of first priority. It is essential that we pray for God's name to be hallowed. Notice for a moment that the prayer itself is passive. It indicates that God is the one who does this. It's already something that's true, his name being holy. We're praying for him to show it to be so, to reveal his glory, to reveal his holiness in this world. And so he is the one that does it, but we pray that he would do this. And then we also have a part. The way we live makes a difference. People looking to us to imagine what our holy God is like. So if we choose to pray this petition, hallowed be your name, who are we praying would be moved? Who are we praying for specifically? Well, we're praying for the whole world. We start with ourselves as Christians, those who are a part of our church right here at Fletcher Hills, the larger Christian church in the world. We pray that we would be faithful in the way that we live and the way that we pray for the holiness of God, that his name would be hallowed. But we extend that prayer beyond just the church to everyone else in this world, those unaware of the glory of God, of the holiness of God. We're praying that this hallowedness, this holiness would be freely available and evident to everyone in this world. We ask God when we pray this for help to trust, to fear, to obey, and to glorify him. We ask the same for everyone else. Because as we trust, fear, obey, and glorify God, his name will, in fact, be hallowed in this world. Now, last week we finished the message by focusing on how eagerly our Heavenly Father receives us. Remember, we pictured what his face is like when we turn to him and move into his presence, and he is always willing, always delighted to receive us into his presence. And we keep that in mind even as we move on to the petitions of the prayer itself. And so this week, we remind ourselves of our need to pray daily that God's name would be hallowed. God receives us with that same joy as we pray outward that his holiness would be known in this world. We pray that in us, by the working of the scriptures, by our Christian fellowship together, and by his Holy Spirit at work within us, his name would be hallowed. And we pray as well that in the world, through the way we choose to live, as we serve as faithful representatives of God, his name is known as holy. And so this week, as we dig a little bit deeper into this concept of hallowed be your name, use the questions in your bulletin. They will help to unpack more of what this means. And realize that as we pray, that God in all his glory would be holy to each of us, and that God in all his glory will become holy in the entire world. Let's pray together now toward that end. Father, we acknowledge together as believers today that you are altogether holy. You are altogether different than all that we experience here in this world, than each of us as well. And yet that's not meant to distance you from us. We're reminded that you tell us to call you Father, that you invite us into your presence. And so help us to begin by truly beholding your glory, your otherness, your power, all that you are, so that as we pray to you and as we go about our lives in this world, we're not only acknowledging that reality, but we are broadcasting it to the people around us. Help us to live in such a way that as people view us, they see a slice of the glory of who you are. that our lives will hallow your name. And help us in our prayer life as we commune with you to be those who pray continually that your name would be hallowed in our hearts, in our lives, in the lives of those who are part of this faith family here, and all the way through the world, throughout your creation. You are holy, God. Reveal yourself as such and use us to be messengers of that reality. Draw us close to you. May your holiness be a comfort to each of us. Father, hallowed be your name. We pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.